You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. That's right, you get to hear this great episode because of great patrons who are supporting this content. Great people like Typical Tyrant, Cornaforos, Matt Jans, Max Carnage, Menok, Nick Patrick, Rich M, Zerosio, Chris M, and Robert Y. Thank you so much for making this show happen. You can join this team and get some great perks in return over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Go check it out. Trust me, it'll be good. Hello and welcome to episode 126 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and it's good to be with you guys. I gotta say, it's been a long day. It's been a very long week. My family and I have been up to a lot. And in fact, this weekend was even kind of a quiet front on the Hearthstone realm for me. I haven't had a weekend in a long time where I had a day that I didn't check my quests. Oh my gosh. Now, I didn't go the whole weekend without playing, but I did have an entire day. I realized today, I was like, man, I didn't even check my quests yesterday. That's kind of crazy. That's how busy of a week it's been for me and my family. But I got to tell you guys, it is so good to be with you. It is just going to be you and me doing whatever you're doing. You know, I'm just along for the ride for what you're up to. You might be cooking. You might be out on a run. You might be in the gym. You might be at work. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm here. I'm here to party. So I hope you're ready to party in the midst of your work or cooking or, I don't know, maybe you're doing something really fun. So it's good to be with you guys. We are going to have a bit of a shorter show today because it has been a rough one for me on the ladder. And we'll talk about that in the main topic. But just to give you a little bit of a heads up, we don't have a lot of news going on. We'll talk a bit about the Patreon and kind of where we're at with that. And then we will do a full meta breakdown because we haven't done one of those in a few weeks. So we're going to go through all of the different sources out there and kind of help you to pinpoint exactly what you should be playing. I'll give you my How to Have a Happy Time deck of the week, of course. We'll have a little bit of input from our community, and then we'll call it a night. How's that sound? It sounds pretty good to me, but it better sound good to you too, because you're the one listening here. So really looking forward to this show. Let's go ahead and kick it off and talk about why I'm happy today. Well, even though, like I said, it was a tough day on the ladder, it was actually a really good day at work. I don't know about you guys, but for me, currently my day-to-day job, there's not a lot of bells and whistles per se, not a lot of big wins necessarily. So it's kind of, I'm in a season right now where I really need to keep my head down. I need to be creative. I need to do my work well. But there just aren't a lot of opportunities to really put a lot of pizzazz on things necessarily. It's more of a just got to do your stuff and hope that the results will come with time and consistency. But today, we actually, one of the, it's not a board member, but he's one of the executives for the company that I work for. He was down talking with our department, talking with my boss, and was like, hey, I'm wondering, I kind of need a video, and it needs to be this and that. And I walked over because I had actually kind of started working on something similar to what he's talking about. And my boss didn't even know about that. So my boss says, well, I think Andrew could probably whip something up. And I was able to say, actually, I've already got 90% of it done. I could have it ready as soon as you need it. He said, could you have it done in an hour? I said, I totally could. So he said, great. And I had it done for him. And my boss was really impressed. So, you know, it feels good. You get a little gold star for the day. I don't know. It definitely feels good. There wasn't any specific recognition or anything like that, but you know, no matter what kind of work or school, or if you're taking care of your family, whatever you do in your day in, day out life, you probably don't necessarily get the recognition that you want or deserve or anything like that. And a lot of times you need to count the wins as wins, right? So even though it's more of a personal recognition, I feel good about today. You know, I came home and I know that with time, those kinds of things do get recognized and add up into something that's really good. So I'm happy because I'm pleased with that. And that's, you know, 40 hours of my week. I hope that that's going well. Because there are more days than not that I kind of wonder sometimes. So I'll take a good day for sure. Let's talk about the news. There's not any. I mean, there were some esports events and stuff, but we don't really cover that on this show because if you want to know about the esports stuff, you really should be listening to some of the great people like Coin Concede and Hero Power. They do a great job talking about all the details and stuff like that. So as far as what you should know that's going on in the Hearthstone world, the Everyone Get In Here bundle is done. So I hope that you got some good stuff off of that. I'll be honest with you guys. I have a lot of not self-restraint when it comes to that. So I don't have a lot of self-restraint, is what I'm trying to say, when it comes to those. So I definitely got a few of those. I didn't get any huge results. I got Lord Godfrey, I think I mentioned last time. And I'm pretty sure I got, well, I did get Harrison Jones, but I already had him because I've got all those classic legendaries. Actually, one of the big things, I did get an Ancient of Lore, which means I finally completed my quest for getting all of the classic cards. So I've had two Ancient of Lores before, but I dusted them when they got nerfed a while ago. And those are a bit tougher to get now. Epics are, They're harder to, you know, guarantee that you're going to get one of them because there aren't the stipulations on them that there are on legendaries. So I was thankful to get one so that I can finally get that 100 gold, get a little boost for the next expansion, and be good to go. But I feel a lot better about my dust content completely than I used to. So even though it was mostly dust, it was discounted dust. And going into the next expansion, I feel like I really have a solid base to craft the things that maybe I don't get. This may be, I mean, I'm always going to do those pre-orders because they're just a great deal and you usually get a little exclusive card back or something. I kind of wonder if they're going to keep spoiling us because this past one, they gave us 20 extra packs. So it may not be that exactly, but maybe it's something else this next time. But I feel like with that pre-order and with the dust that I've built up, I'll probably be good just on that. I guess the other thing that happened from last time was the new pack day. So the free Golden Classic pack was an exciting day. I hope you got something good. I got a rare and four commons, which, you know, most of us got, but I was pleasantly happy with what I got because pretty much everything that I got on my pack at least was playable. I think there were a couple that I already had two golden versions of. I know I'm a whale sometimes. But I got an Ironbeak Owl, Jungle Panther, Rampage, Raging Worgen, and Eaglehorn Bow. So all of those have seen play in one deck or another. Rampage is probably the most random out of them, but I'm definitely happy with that Ironbeak Owl. So, you know, you see the feathers flying around and stuff, and especially now in the odd decks, he lives. We will have to talk about that a little bit later in the show. And of course, like we talked about last time, the Taverns of Time is now live. This is the first time I'm recording while I've played it, and it has been a lot of fun for me, I'll be honest. I feel like the rewards have kind of gone up a little bit as far as what you're getting. I haven't done the research to see if that's true, but I got my couple of free runs because I had a run still active. And I think I got a 3-win run and a 7-win run right off the bat. And so that was great. And since then have floated kind of around the 5 to 7. So still feel like I'm doing okay. It feels like Mage and Hunter are pretty dang good. My biggest advice to you is don't get totally sidetracked by just the flashy new cards. They are fun and it is great to be able to have many of them in your deck, but sometimes they're not the right choice. That 6-mana 10/10 with Rush is crazy, but it also means that you for an entire turn, if it's on turn 6 or 7, aren't doing anything. So your opponent can really get ahead on the board if you're not careful with that. I think I had two of those in one of my decks and did not do so hot with that. So hope you guys are enjoying that as well. Maybe it's something that we need to take an entire episode to talk about. It sounds like they're going to do more of these. I did want to shout out Alec Dawson, the former host of the Golden Wisp, who's now working for Team 5 and developing Hearthstone. He mentioned on Twitter that he got to help design this event. So really great job, Alec. I've been excited to see exactly what you'd be working on. And I think that this event has proven to be just a boost of insanity. It's not like it's totally a randomonium kind of tavern brawl or something like that. But these cards are, they just do things that are so outside of what we're used to. and in a powerful but not overpowered way. So I'm really hopeful that we'll see more of these kinds of arena events, especially right at the halfway mark where we're kind of starting to get a little bit tired of the cards. I mean, we are a petty bunch who are Hearthstone players, aren't we? We always want new stuff. We're always dissatisfied with what's there. But the truth is that something like this is great because it's other than new cards, which is always what we want. So it's not new cards for the ranked ladder system or something like that. It's cards that probably shouldn't exist in the ladder system, but we get to play still. And it feels to me like it's a bit balanced. You know, I know it's probably easy if you go up against a mage who has that 1/3 that gets him a spell every turn and you just have zero removal, that it feels like they just high rolled you or something like that. But to me, it feels like there's enough balance as far as the drafting system's concerned and all of that. And, you know, if a run doesn't work out for you, you can retire it, you can run it out, and then get right back in on a new one. So it feels like there's enough variance to really make it fun and engaging for anybody who's trying it out, playing, and having a good time. So shout out to you, Alec. Great job if you ever hear this. And be looking forward to more events like this in the future. So it's kind of crazy to me that we really have like zero news. I don't know that since I've taken on this show, there's ever been a week that there's been nothing. And I guess there was a good long stretch there. I was still doing a show every other week, but it's a bit crazy to me. So that's why this show is probably going to be a bit on the shorter side. But we'll keep it going so we can talk about the main juice, which is the main topic. But I do want to take a quick sponsor break and thank all of our patrons who are making this show happen. And truly, I mean, all of you who are listening, if you are listening to my voice right now, this show exists because of you. The fact that you tune in, that you listen, that you enjoy it. I know many of you have been on the show, have left iTunes reviews, have just written in to encourage me. All of those go such a long way to really helping to put fuel in the fire and help me to keep on trucking. So I appreciate that. And everybody who is a patron right now, who's supporting the show financially, you give fuel to this show that I cannot overstate, whether that's at a dollar or all the way up at the producer level. Every single one of you is making a huge difference. And I wish I can find cheesy ways to thank you, but truly nothing's ever going to really give you the thanks that I wish I could. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I do want to address a couple of things, and they're both really positive. About the Patreon right now. One is that we've had a lot of people change the amount for how they're giving this month. What's really encouraging and cool to me, though, is that nobody has left giving. And I mentioned on the show before that, like with Patreon, with any kind of fundraising that you ever do, you have to anticipate that things are going to change because people's financial situations do change. Sometimes it's that people can give more, but oftentimes it's that people have to start giving somewhere else or can't give as much as they once did. And I totally understand that. I get that. But it's been really encouraging to me that those of you who have needed to change your amount this month, you've still stayed committed to being a part of things, which I know every time that's just not an option. So it's really gone a long way to me to say, wow, you guys, you really believe in this show. Even when things have changed, you say, but I still want to be in at some level. So thank you so much to those of you that's been the case. It's been a lot. And we've also had quite a few new patrons this month, which is really encouraging to me. I don't know if I say this enough, that when you do jump on, you don't get charged until the first of the next month. So that's when your rewards start going through. I think actually if you pledge at the $5 level for the exclusive weekly content that I create, you do get access to all of that stuff immediately. But for everything else, you'll start getting that the next month. So actually right now there is a coaching spot that's open. So if you're interested in doing a coaching session at $10 a month, you can jump in. I have a very limited amount of those because my schedule is bananas crazy and my patrons at that level will say that that's true, but I always try my best to work with my schedule and yours to get some good time and help you get better at the game. So if that's something that's interesting to you, it's not always available, but it is right now. And we're also only $18 away from that Discord goal. So I'd love to set up a Happy Hearthstone Discord. It'll be some extra work, but at that level, it's going to make sense to do that. So if you'd like to jump in at that coaching level, maybe that exclusive content has been itching at you, or you say, you know what, I don't have a lot to give, but $1 a month, I can jump in and get some shout outs. $18 is where we're at to get there. And this month, just as a reminder, I'm giving away a copy of Yooka-Laylee on Steam to one of the patrons. And this is a game that was made by the team behind Rare and Banjo-Kazooie, which is one of my all-time favorite games. So Yooka-Laylee was one I was really excited about. This is a game that is more me than just about anything else. So if you enjoy platformers, this is just a very small way that I want to say thank you. It is a $40 retail value. So if you don't have it yet, then it could be a nice little perk. So everyone who's a patron this month in the month of June 2018 will be eligible for that giveaway next month. So jump on in, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Love to have you join the team and be a part of making this show happen. Okay, let's talk about the meta. This is a squirrely month. I tell you what. This is a very squirrely month, and I do want to talk with you guys a bit about my experience so far, because today especially was a tough one. I did have some extra time to be able to grind some games, but it was not pretty. And I know we've talked before on the show in different capacities about how important it is to keep things in perspective. A lot of times, you know, you'll go and see all of the pros tweeting out their insane runs to legend or up to, you know, rank 10 in the legend ladder. And it can be pretty depressing if you're not careful to see just how well they're doing and compare it to yourself. But the truth is that all of us have rough days. And in fact, today I had a 26% win rate. I had 6 wins and 17 losses. So that took me from, I think I was at rank 3 with 2 stars down to rank 5 with 4 stars. Not an encouraging day on the ladder, unfortunately. Lots of things worked into that, so we'll talk about that. But I just want to take today as a reminder for you guys, because honestly, while I was going through that, I was like, man, I need to record this episode today, and I am just not encouraged or excited. I know that a lot of you are really encouraging about how positive I am and stuff, and I really work hard to do that. But it is tough to remain positive when you are on an insane losing streak for just about anybody. So even in the midst of that, it is okay. A tough day does not mean that you are a bad player. It just means that you had a tough day. So, and that's really okay. So looking at today, I guess we'll talk, actually, we'll reach back into the beginning of the month, because I don't think we've talked about the meta this month quite yet. The balance changes have obviously changed things a lot. And I know that people are very split on this issue about how the ladder feels, how decks feel, and stuff like that. I am of the mindset that diversity is a really positive thing for this game. I've been a part of metas where there are one or two decks that are just clearly stronger than everything else. And I know from experience how bad that feels and how tough it is, especially for people who like to try different stuff, play different kinds of decks. If you like that style, it's very forced. You're very forced into either losing a lot or playing the decks that aren't as interesting to you. And so a meta like this, where as we talk through all of the different meta reports, you'll see a lot of variance in what they say are the strongest decks. You'll see a lot of variance in the decks that are at 50% or higher win rates, which is really, that's the most encouraging thing to me. So the other side to that coin, which we mentioned on the show, is that when things are extremely varied, it's very difficult to find one deck that can take you all the way to where you want to be, whether that's your goal of rank 10 or 5 or legend. It is tough to recommend one deck that is going to get you there, because a lot of different things are strong, things are very matchup dependent, and it's harder to even know one deck, because I think it goes without saying, but is worth saying, That's a very conflicting statement. That you need to know the decks that you're playing really well inside and out. You need to know the different matchups that you could come up against, what to mulligan for, how to play against those kinds of decks. Like, for instance, I played a bit of Control Mage today. I went up against a Shudderwalk Shaman. This is a very low-hanging fruit example. Shudderwalk Shaman is very highly favored against Control Mage because once Shudderwalk Shaman gets to a certain point, it's a heavy combo deck. It will just win if it's had the right cards so far, basically. So Control Mage, being a very late game style deck, cannot win very well against that. So immediately when I saw that it was Shaman, I decided, okay, I'm going to mulligan aggressively for the early game. And sure enough, it was Shudderwalk Shaman. So I started just going face from the very beginning. Raven's Familiar on turn two. Tar Creeper isn't a really powerful thing on turn three. But just those kinds of cards, being able to just go face aggressively and not care so much about the opponent's board, but just keep going face. Eventually, I was actually able to win that game. Shudderwalk ended up being really low in their deck, I guess. But because I was able to know that matchup, I was able to do better with that deck in a very unfavorable matchup and play to my out on that. So what's tough about a really varied meta like the one that we have right now is that knowing the entire scheme of decks that are out there is more difficult than it is when there are only two or three powerful decks. If that's the case, you really just need to know how the deck that you're playing goes up against, to use a time in our meta, against mid-range Shaman. It's kind of all you need to know. If it's strong against mid-range Shaman, you'll probably do okay. And if it's not, you're probably not going to do okay. And even knowing, I remember back then when mid-range Shaman was a significant issue on the ladder, you needed to know the mirror extremely well because it was going to be 50% of your matchups. So regardless, that is a very difficult point of data in our Hearthstone world right now, that there, because so many different decks are viable, it is hard to know all of the extremities. So be patient with yourself, because it's tough to know all of the different things. You're probably going to be learning every time you get a chance to turn on your game and check things out. So early on in the month, I decided to go pretty heavy with Kathrina Hunter and to go with that. In fact, I played it all the way up from rank, it must have been rank 4. I think I went all the way down to rank 5, 0 stars. And I took it all the way to rank 3, and I believe I was at 2. I was at 5 stars at one point, actually. I was one win away from rank 2. That always burns just a little bit. And so I went 25-11, it looks like, during that time, which is really encouraging. Was able to win quite a bit against a lot of the Druid options that were out there. Taunt Warrior seemed to be a pretty good matchup, and even Miracle Rogue, which does pretty good typically against Kathrina Hunter, I was able to win 3-0 against that. Even Warlock didn't do as well against. Odd Paladin was a real problem, 0-7 against Odd Paladin. So that was kind of the spread on that. Actually, for our $5 patrons for the Happy Hearthstone, I wrote up a deck guide for the deck list that I've been using. It's over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And went through the really important cards, how to play them, what to think through during your different plays. I feel like this deck is really strong, but it hasn't been able to carry me the rest of the way, unfortunately. So just looking at today, I mentioned I had the 26% win rate. And the biggest issue for me was bouncing around from deck to deck. It's been several days since I have really hunkered down and played a big chunk of Hearthstone. And so because it had been a while, I think I came into today with a negative mindset of, I don't know what's working, so I'm just going to have to keep trying stuff until I figure it out. And that ended up not being the best idea. I did want to start with the Kathrina Hunter because I knew that well. It had been doing well for me. But I ended up, Miracle Rogue had its revenge on me because I went 0-3 against it this time with that. And that was obviously a real issue. It seemed like there was far fewer Warlocks on the ladder today. But instead, I came up against Miracle Rogue. It looks like there was a lot of Druid, mostly Taunt Druid, and some Hunters as well. The Shudderwalk Shaman and a few weird warriors. It seemed like there was one recruit warrior and two that seemed more like a control warrior variant. That was the majority of what I was seeing at ranks 3 through 5. So some kind of weird stuff. And Hunter ended up only going 1 and 5 for me. The best win rates I had were 50%. I spread myself all over the place. So I played Odd Paladin. I played Taunt Warrior. I played Zoo Warlock. I played some Control Mage, some Even Shaman, and just none of it seemed to work. From 50% win rate all the way to 0% win rate, just not an encouraging day, unfortunately. So that's why I really wanted to call this episode What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Because I feel this way often, and I know I'm not alone, that when you have days like this, it's really hard to know how to bounce back. I mean, I've talked before on the show about some ideas like taking a break, going and doing other stuff. But at some point, you have to come back to this game, and it's really hard to know, is it still worth it for me to pursue my goals this month? And it's tough to know that sometimes, quite what the answer is. So for me, as I look at things, I've still got plenty of time this month potentially, but I think what I underestimated was just how busy this month was going to be. I neglected to say earlier that one of the biggest reasons it's been so busy is because we actually did launch our Airbnb, which was really exciting, but it ended up being a lot more work than I anticipated. We opened it up and we had a lot of demand really quickly. In fact, today as I'm recording this is the first day since we opened it like 10 days ago that we haven't had somebody reserve and stay with us for the night. So it's been a bit hectic. It's been really encouraging though, because we worked hard so that it would get booked, not that it wouldn't. But because of that, because of family time, we're getting ready for my daughter's birthday and hosting my parents and my in-laws at the same time. Work's been crazy. Lots of stuff going on. Means there's not going to be as much Hearthstone. And when there's not as much Hearthstone, it is tougher to know the meta. It's tougher to know your matchups. It's tougher to know how to play. So while I may know the fundamentals, things shift so quickly on the ladder that it is really important to keep a level head and recognize that if you're not going to be able to play for a while, it might take you some tanking on the ladder, unfortunately, to get back to where you want to be. I haven't taken my own advice of watching streamers. I just wanted to jam some games in because I hadn't gotten to play as much. And I think that the other big point is looking at the data, looking at what worked for you, but also what all of the reports are saying. So while I may not have been feeling it as much because I wasn't as encouraged or excited, I do know that I really need this time to sit down with you and look through all these reports and think through what's working according to the top level players right now, because they know this game really well. And we're going to do that right now. So let's start out by looking at HS Replay. I'll remind you that for their tier one reports, these are like the highest performing archetypes right now. And these are typically archetypes that have a 54% or higher win rate. So if you just stay kind of on deck lists that you find and not like data like this, you may think the 54% sounds really low, but the truth is that it's extremely high when you think through all of the different cards, all of the different archetypes that are out there and stuff. A 54% win rate is something to truly be proud of. So if you're getting that, good on you. And if you're not, it's okay. The tier one right now, according to HS Replay, consists of Odd Paladin and Even Shaman. Really interesting to me that Odd Paladin has just completely saturated that high level of play. It is a very aggressive deck. It's a bit simpler in terms of how to play it, what your turns look like. Turn one is going to be a one drop. Turn two is going to be a hero power. Turn three is going to be a hero power and a one drop, typically. And, you know, that's not every single game, but that is, it's pretty safe to say that if you play it that way, you're probably going to be in a good position by turns 4 or 5, or by turn 8, you could have the game sewed up if your opponent doesn't have clear answers every single turn. Odd Paladin thrives on the fact that it just keeps on pumping out Silverhand recruits. And so the fact that you can keep doing that you can buff up stuff with your unidentified mauls, with Blessings of Might, With your raid leaders, Stormwind champions, there's just so much stuff to take advantage of. Level up, of course, bears mentioning as well. So I feel like Odd Paladin is really well situated right now. And even Shaman being up here is no surprise as well. Even Shaman, I think about in very similar terms, playstyle-wise with Odd Paladin. Even Shaman's a bit more complicated because I feel like with Odd Paladin, you've got turn one, turn two, turn three, just clear as day, right? The only turn that's really clear with Even Shaman is turn one. You're going to hero power on turn one, but every other turn, pretty much, you need to know your board. You need to know where you're placing things. And I can't recommend Wicked Good's episode recently about his run to legend with Even Shaman highly enough. He talked about the deck really well, but he also talked about a lot of overarching board control mindsets and strategies. You need to go listen to it. Go over to offcurve.com or search for Offcurve in your podcast. If you listen to Happy Hearthstone and you don't listen to Offcurve, what are you doing? Come on, go listen to Steve and get yourself some good stuff. In fact, there's a special episode coming out, I believe this week, that you're really not going to want to miss. And I won't spoil it for you, but definitely go check it out. So if you're interested in Even Shaman, though, he's done a fantastic job going in depth with that I don't want to. I feel like I don't need to talk about because I can't really add much to what he's saying. But you guys know that I love the Even Shaman deck. So I've been trying it out and haven't quite gotten the win rates that I'd like to with it. But it is very strong according to what's on HS Replay right now. So those are the highest of the high. Because we've actually got quite a few reports here, I'm going to keep things tight to the just the tier one of what they report there. So that's that for HS Replay. So looking at the Tempo Storm meta snapshot, this actually just came out this week, so this is really hot off the presses here. Tier one looks completely different for them. And you guys probably remember that Tempo Storm doesn't do things as much data-driven as much as it does getting a bunch of high-level professional players in a room and talking through what their experience is. So this is a different look through the kaleidoscope, as it were. So looking at this tier list right now, we've got a very different representation. In fact, neither of the two we mentioned in the last report are present here. So we've got Token Druid at the very top, Taunt Druid following that up, Even Warlock, Combo Shudderwalk Shaman, and then Q-Block rounding out tier one. So Token Druid, man, this is a really interesting deck. I don't know if he was the pioneer for it, but Muzzy was playing this quite a bit in recent tournaments, and he definitely brought the deck to light in some pretty significant ways for the community. Token Druid thrives off of Soul of the Forest and ways of getting tokens such as Whispering Woods, and why can't I remember the 6-mana 1/5 spell that's Spreading Plague. Why couldn't I remember Spreading Plague? It thrives off of creating a bunch of tokens with stuff like that, and then just basically running over the opponent with Savage Roars, Powers of the Wild, stuff like that. It's really, I haven't gotten to play the deck a ton. This actually was another pull I got from the Get In Here bundle. I did get a golden Whispering Woods, so I was very thankful for that. So add that to my non-golden version, and I can play Token Druid now. I've only played one game. It was really squirrely. It was against like a Malagos Druid that beat me in Fatigue, which was just completely draining. But I recognize Token Druid is actually a really difficult deck to play. So if you're interested in this one, I would really suggest going to YouTube, searching out some of the top pros and watching them play through things. I wonder if Zalay actually has one. Let me check real quick. No, I can't find one yet. But Zalay comes out with some incredible deck guides from time to time. So if he does come out with one, you should check it out. You'll have to go to the Wild Wild West and see if you can find. I'm sure there's some out there. But Token Druid is a tough one to play, but it has some really good matchups, according to Tempo Storm, against things like the Shudderwalk Shaman, Recruit Hunter, and even Shaman. Just the fact that it's able to get so much stuff out there, it's really hard to deal with all of that stuff other than with tools like Psychic Scream or Dustbreaker. Even with Dustbreaker, you need two of them in order to take care of stuff sometimes. So a lot of decks being able to go wide, and then with Savage Roar being able to burst down your opponent, is a really strong win condition. Now, Taunt Druid, on the other hand, is nothing necessarily new, but has been, like I mentioned, it destroyed me today on the ladder. And it's got a lot of really good matchups right now against stuff like Recruit Hunter, Spell Hunter, even Warlock. So it's a really good option if Hadronox is in your wheelhouse, if you got a Lich King sitting around. Been seeing a lot more Sleepy Dragons in these lists. And in fact, I remember it was actually an old strategy with Master Oakheart pulling out a Dragon Hatcher. They could also pull out something like Sleepy Dragon. I hadn't seen that a lot until more recently. The even more crazy combo that I've seen has been the list that's running Drakari Enchanter, which all of your end of turn effects will trigger twice, which includes Dragon Hatcher. So with Master Oakheart, you pull Drakari Enchanter, the Dragon Hatcher. I don't even know if there's a three attack minion, maybe Ironwood Golem, I guess, that it can pull. So that ends up being extremely strong, though, because it gets out two dragons. And again, Psychic Scream is really the only thing to take care of all of that in a way that doesn't help your win condition. So lots of Druid love on there. Even Warlock is also something that's gotten a lot of notoriety lately. Even Warlock is pretty good against Token Druid because you've got Defile and Hellfire that can just take care of a lot of stuff. Also good against Recruit Hunter. So this runs, because of the life tap, you're able to get out Mountain Giants on turn three sometimes. You've got a lot of late game stuff with your Dread Infernals, Spellstones. Went up against somebody today who was even Warlock. If they hadn't had two fully upgraded Spellstones, I'm sure I would have won that game. But it's just so much healing, and it's really hard to come back from that. So even Warlock, another good deck to look at. I'm really surprised, honestly, that Shudderwalk Shaman has become as powerful as it currently stands. But the truth is that Shudderwalk Shaman is the ultimate combo deck. You get to a certain point, and if you've played your cards, you just win. It is more of a solitaire deck. I call combo decks like you're playing solitaire. Especially old school Freeze Mage was like this, because it's all about drawing the right cards. If you get the right cards, your opponent cannot do anything to keep up, unfortunately. And Shudderwalk Shaman, with its healing rains and insane amounts of glacial shards that they could pick up from like Zola the Gorgon and stuff like that. I had a Shudderwalk who played three different glacial shards because of that, and it was really debilitating against my very wide board. So, and then Q-Block finishing that up. We'll talk more about Q-Block with Vicious Syndicate, because they have been beaten on the Q-Block drum since the patch hit. But Q-Block is notably good against things like Miracle Rogue, Token Druid, even Warlock, and even Shaman. So this has a lot of good matchups with those higher tier one decks, according to Tempo Storm. So really interesting stuff there. Let's go ahead and look at the Vicious Syndicate report. It's hard not to play favorites, but this is always the one that I'm really quick to look at during the week, because Vicious Syndicate is so data-driven. I'm really excited, too. A lot of you guys got behind when I tweeted out some support for them. If you're not donating your game data to them, you really should be. It's completely free to do. It takes a few minutes, and it's perpetual. Once you set it up, it will do it every time that you play a game on on your laptop or desktop. So it's certainly worth your time, certainly worth your effort. You can go to the latest report, and you'll see a banner at the top that says, "Share your game data, help us improve the Data Reaper." They even sweeten the pot. Their upgraded paid account is called Vicious Syndicate Gold, and they've decided to do a monthly raffle for people who are donating their data to the report. Gold gets you features like being able to look at the live Data Reaper report and look at a lot more data, so you can shore things up to certain ranks and certain time frames and stuff like that. It seems really cool, and I'm excited to have a chance to win that. So if you are thinking about it, go do it. It's a big deal, and you can also get something pretty valuable through that as well. Their report is really super hyper encouraging. You look at this this breakdown of all of the different decks that have been played at all the different ranks, and it is so diverse. It's insane to me. There is no one archetype that is clearly above the rest. In fact, the most played archetypes right now, it looks like, are actually Shudderwalk Shaman at 7.2%. You got Kathrina Hunter at 7.27%. And then close on it, on those heels are Odd Paladin at 6.6, Taunt Druid 6.5, and then even Warlock and Miracle Rogue are neck and neck at 6.2. So there's just so much different stuff being played, and you do have certain archetypes being played more than others, but by and large, this is so diverse, so much different stuff. It's pretty encouraging and exciting to see that. At all of their ranks, their tier one system right now reports Even Warlock at the highest win rates, Cube Warlock at the second, Taunt Warrior third, Kathrina Hunter fourth, and Odd Paladin fifth to round out all of tier one. So Even Warlock being at the top, actually it's really interesting that two Warlocks for them are at the very top. And this is all data driven, so they're not choosing this, but Cube Warlock just continues to do some crazy stuff. I mean, I think I thought it most when I saw the changes that they made to Possess Lackey, that just thought, well, that doesn't change a whole lot, really. Dark Pact was probably the most significant, giving them not quite as much health that they get back. But that's really the only big change that was made, in my opinion, to Cube Warlock. So lots of great matchups also for it, according to the Vicious Syndicate report. Again, Token Druid, Taunt Warrior is also another interesting one that they saw a lot of play with. Although if you're seeing a lot of Alunith Mage or Tempo Mage, you may want to steer clear, because Cube Warlock is always going to struggle in that matchup quite a bit, especially with less power than they used to have in getting health back. Even Warlock, though, looking really good against things like Control Warlock, even Shaman, excuse me. Just having a lot of board clears is going to help all of those decks that are going wide, like Odd Paladin and Even Shaman, Token Druid. So if you continue to see those decks specifically rise in play, you can expect to see Warlock come aggressively behind it, because Cube and Even are very set to continue to be extremely strong decks, and they're going to thrive if there are a lot of wide boards because of how many options they have for board clears. We haven't even mentioned Lord Godfrey, which is not in the Even because it's 7 cost, but in the Cube Warlock, it's pretty much become a mainstay lately as just another board clear tool. So really cool stuff on that. Taunt Warrior was really interesting for me to see so high up there. I know that it's been doing much better lately, and I think that this comes mostly because of its high matchups against Odd Paladin and Token Druid. So you wouldn't think of it necessarily as a high win rate against those wide boards, especially because with Taunt Warrior, you think about the weapon and the new hero power of being able to do 8 damage. When you got a wide board, that is the ultimate counter to dealing 8 damage every turn to a random enemy. So, but the other tools that they have, Brawl, of course, is a very strong one against a wide board, and Warpath has proven to be an extremely strong card against those as well. Warpath is really, in my opinion, being treated more like deal 3 damage to the entire board for 6 mana. Or deal 4 damage to the whole board for 8 mana. 5 damage for 10 mana. I see Warpath being used pretty often, whether it's in Taunt Warrior or Recruit Warrior, in that vein. So that card is kind of a staple for Warrior decks right now. Don't leave home without it. And especially if you're seeing those kinds of big, heavy board decks, it's going to do you some real good. Kathrina Hunter, you know, I mentioned it worked really well for me, and it's working well for other people too. It really thrives in that mid game. If you get a strong early game and then have the right tools, like the Seeping Oozling, I always can't quite remember, like the predicate, or not predicate, the, oh man, my grammar friends are going to hate me. Whatever the end of the word is called, can't remember. But I'm pretty sure it's the Seeping Oozling, and then cards like Play Dead, being able to cheat more out with Kathrina herself, stuff like that, can just make for a really powerful mid game that if your opponent doesn't have direct answers for, you're just kind of hosed. So So good stuff there. And then Odd Paladin, it is a standard, and it is here to stay for quite some time. I am of the opinion in that realm. I'm actually really seriously considering crafting my two corridor creepers back, which I don't want to do. But at this point, it's a really strong card in those decks because it ends up basically being a free 2/5, which not as strong as a free 5/5. I don't know if you're sure about that, but it's still a really strong tool to be able to use in that deck. So Vicious Syndicate talked about their meta breakers, which was very cyclical. If you didn't read their meta report last week, you really should because it was hysterical. They're still saying Warlock is really cream of the crop and really strong. And so Cube and Even, they are saying, hey, go all in on those. But if you're seeing a lot of Warlock, you can play some Rogue, either Miracle or Odd Rogue, and be able to go against that well. If you don't see as much Warlock, then Even Shamans really really pose to do well. So they kind of they divvied up their meta breaker to several different options to give you some clear choice, which is good. I appreciate that. And then I wanted to mention one more tier list that's actually pretty new to the scene. So Fade to Karma is a fantastic organization. They have some great players. I watch a lot of them, like Jackie Chan, Ali Straza on Twitch. They're just really great players, and all of their players pretty much do a great job of explaining their plays. So I really highly suggest them as people to go to. But this tier list I found on Reddit and thought it was just a great job. So what they've decided to do is compile ladder data that they have as well as their top legend players' opinions. So this is sort of an aggregate of something like Tempo Storm and Vicious Syndicate. I know Vicious Syndicate has some really high top players who are speaking into their data and their choices as well. But I feel like this is unique enough and another good take from some great players that it really deserves a spot on your radar as far as being a good resource to check out and be in the loop about. So their tier one, what they do is they have the different tiers, of course, and then they also break down within those each deck saying how difficult or simple it is to play. And I will beat on this drum until I am dead that simplicity is a very relative thing. There is no easy deck to play in Hearthstone. And, anyone who says that aggressive decks are just inherently easy to play is silly, because to be a really good aggressive player takes a lot of know-how about your resources, about the matchups. You can't just slam stuff down and expect to win. Sometimes that will work with an aggressive deck, but you will not become the best player in the world doing that. If that were the case, there would just be way too many aggro players at tournaments who were just swiping everything up. But so it goes without saying that. So that being said, though, some decks are going to be a bit simpler to learn than other ones and are a bit more forgiving, especially as far as taking them to the ladder and how in depth you really need to know them. So with all that said, their best of the best tier one decks in order are Even Warlock, Token Druid, Odd Paladin, and Even Shaman. They rated Even Warlock and Token Druid both as medium level decks to pilot, and Odd Paladin and Even Shaman as easy decks to pilot. So I agree with most of this. I would honestly put Token Druid a little bit higher on that hard list. I just think that knowing you have a lot of different options every single turn, and you can't get anything wrong as you're piloting that deck. It's a very unforgiving deck. So I would say that difficulty wise, it's a tougher one. So, again, we're seeing a lot of the same kind of things here where it's interesting to me, Token Druid, Odd Paladin, and Even Shaman, finally, they're all together here as the very wide boards, the very, buff things and punish your opponent for not having the board clears that they really need to be able to win. I mean, even Warlock being at the top is able to combat all of those strategies really well because they have all of the board clears, not all of them, but enough surely to be able to deal with the board well. I didn't even talk about the Sun Fury Protectors you can throw down and then force all of those little dinky tokens to die very quickly. So really interesting seeing the spread here. And I thought that this tier really does a good job of kind of showing where things are at on the whole. I saw a lot more Miracle Rogue this morning on the ladder than any of these meta reports would have you think. So if you're seeing things differently, it's okay. And you do have to adjust. And that's why I really value that Vicious Syndicate report, because it'll show you different, and especially if you know the different tiers and stuff like that, you can go check those out and see what works at those different levels. But you can see specific matchups, what works. And no, man, I'm finding a lot of Miracle Rogue is my problem today. Well, if that's the case, then according to Vicious Syndicate, I can't read charts. No, I can't. Spell Hunter or a Lunith Mage are going to be your friends. Or even a little bit of Odd Rogue might be the aggression that you need to take them on. So lots of good stuff here. As far as my recommendations for you as you are taking the ladder and having a happy time, I hope. I actually have two suggestions. One's not going to surprise you, and that's Odd Paladin. I think that Odd Paladin is a fairly simple one to jump in and then start learning very quickly with. If you are finding a lot of Warlock matchups, then you're probably not going to do so well. So this is dependent on coming up against a lot of other stuff. But with Odd Paladin, you can be extremely aggressive. You can continue to build the board in ways that your opponent can't keep up with. And you can really force them to have the answers that they either do or don't have. And many times you'll find that they don't have those answers. So Odd Paladin is one of them. But the other thing that I'll throw in there is that if you're interested, Odd Rogue seems to be really poised well as well. It's another extremely aggressive deck. It's a bit more complicated than Odd Paladin, but it's also a bit simple. So turn one, you want your one drop. Turn two, you're most of the time going to hear a power. Turn three, you usually want to drop one of your three drops. Especially if your opponent's board is clear, you want to drop that Hench Clan Thug. Or even a Blink Fox is fine. Or on turn two, you might coin out your SI7 agent and be able to really get some tempo that your opponent won't be able to come back from. So I think that I'm going to spend a lot more time with Odd Rogue through the rest of the month. I'm not a very great Rogue player. I do have my 500 wins, but I'm definitely less skilled with Rogue than other classes. And I think that this deck is really... is in a good place and has a lot of potential right now. So I'll link in the show notes over at thehappyhearthstone.com my suggestions for deck lists to take for each of these. I hope they work for you. If they don't, I'm sorry. But they should do well in helping you to achieve your Hearthstone goals and keep moving forward. For our community section today, I did ask a question on Twitter with not a lot of turnaround time, but I did want to ask really fast, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done because of a bad streak in Hearthstone? Because, you know, today was a rough one for me, and I started thinking, you know, if I didn't have a lot of self-control, I probably would do some silly things, especially if I were a bit younger and less experienced in life. I would just... do silly things. And so my friends Yellow Dart and Drunken Monk had some things to report. Yellow Dart said that he played as Priest on ladder when he was tilting one time. Oh, come on, man. You got to know better than that. Hopefully it was the time when Big Priest was really good, because at least you had some fun with that. And then Drunken Monk said, I went on the Happy Hearthstone as a guest when I went on a bad streak. So it's a good thing we talked about DreamHack Denver and all the great times we had there. And if that was the case, that was actually probably really helpful for you, because... I don't know. It's helpful for me to get my mind off of other things and think about all the great stuff that happens in Hearthstone. So even if I don't hit Legend this month, it's okay. If I don't hit my goals, it's okay. Next month will be better. We got a lot of new decks coming, a lot of new cards coming in expansions that hopefully we get to talk about soon. But today we don't, because we don't know anything. So, hey, I got a card of the week for you guys. And I've got a song that is a deeper cut. Are you guys ready for this? Here we go. I got to hit you with the bass real quick. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, he's an inner fire magnet, if you know what I mean. The way all those spells get on him, well, yeah, you should have seen. The guy, yeah, he's got blood, and I bet you know. Double health and double again, well, he's going to put on a show. A boom, boom, boom. He ain't got no class spells. Bom, 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 ba-dum, bom, ba-dum, bom, bom. So he'll go in any deck. Ba-dum, bom, 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 bom. But when Tyranda needs a win condition. Dun, bom, ba-dum, bom, bom. Stormwind Knight's gonna be there. You can bet. Ba-dum, bom, 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 ba-dum, bom, bom, bom. Do you guys know that song? If you know that song, please, please let me know. Because that is a deep cut from the punk rock scene. If you got Spotify up, pause this real quick. Go listen to Chick Magnet by MXPX. That is old school. Quick story. I saw them play at Warped Tour when I was in high school. They played that song. And it, if you're unfamiliar with the punk rock scene, that song is legendary because of the bass line. It's very simple, but it's just, it gets stuck in your head like ridiculous crazy. Whoa. And they asked the audience, they said, who knows how to play this song on bass? Because it's just so well known. And everyone's going, ah, baby, baby. They're like, you really know? Do you really know? And so they bring this guy up on stage. He grabs the bassist's bass and he starts playing it. It was so much fun. And that's a concert moment I'll never forget. Anyway, Stormwind Knight is the card of the week. A 4-mana neutral all the way back from the basic set. Dang, this is an old school card. 4-mana neutral, 2 attack, 5 health, but he has charge. That's it. Another very simple card for card of the week. Stormwind Knight is seeing some play, and I actually played around with this combo priest that I'll link in the show notes also. It is funky, and it is really, really cool. So Stormwind Knight with the combo, with Divine Spirit and Inner Fire, you got 4 mana for that, 2 mana and 2 mana, so you're at 8. So for 9 mana, you can get a 20 attack minion with charge. And of course it runs silence, so you could have that in case your opponent's got a taunt. So as long as you can get through, you can get 20 damage really quick, which is normally enough to win the game. What's interesting with this deck is that it runs a couple copies of Vivid Nightmare, which is a new card from Witchwood that is 3 mana and summons a copy of a minion with 1 health, a friendly minion, I believe, with 1 health. Thing is, if you copy a 10 attack minion with charge with 1 health, guess what that minion still has? 10 attack and charge. So Vivid Nightmare is an interesting secondary win condition that if you weren't able to get those Divine Spirits, you still might be able to cheat out enough attack. So this is a really interesting deck. It was on the competitive Hearthstone subreddit. I found it from my buddy Ridiculous Hat because he loves combo priest decks, and he was going gaga for this one. So you guys definitely should check out this deck. It's a lot of fun to play, and it's really cool. So that's why Stormwind Knight is our card of the week, because he's making this random appearance in a new deck. So pretty cool. Give him some love. I'm sure as long as there are charge minions, they're going to be taken advantage of. And the Divine Spirit Inner Fire combo is nothing new. I'm kind of surprised. I know Stormwind Knight has seen some play in Combo Priest before, so this isn't the first time. But I think that with that Vivid Nightmare, it makes it a little bit more reliable for it to happen. So pretty cool. Go check out that deck and give your Stormwind Knight. You probably have golden versions in there. Give them some love. It's good stuff. No iTunes reviews this week, and it's actually the first week in a while we haven't had iTunes reviews. So that's okay. It happens sometimes. But for me, it's just a reminder of how thankful I am for all of you who have done that. If you have not, please go do it. It takes a couple minutes. It makes a really big difference, and it helps people find this show, which is a big deal. So I obviously, you know, you can always tell your friends who like Hearthstone about this show, and that's huge. But I know when I was just a listener to Hearthstone Podcast, I didn't have any friends who played Hearthstone. That's why I listened to Hearthstone Podcast. So if that's you and you'd like to help out the show, but you don't have friends to tell about it, you can leave an iTunes review, and it does a very similar thing. Helps us out that way. I'd love to read it on the show too. So let's go ahead and close out the show. I think we talked about the meta more than I expected, which is a good thing because I want you to be prepared and have what you need for that. But as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. You. No, don't you shrug it off and say, well, he's not talking about me. No, I'm talking about you. I am. The fact that you're listening to this show means a lot. It exists for you. It's here for you. And it's the reason why I turn on this mic every week, is because I want to create content for you that matters, that helps you get better, and hopefully helps you to achieve a better mindset and better skills and strategy when it comes to being able to play this game. And there are so many ways you can jump in and contribute. If this is your first time listening, then I hope that you would come back next week and listen again. That's my ask. But if this is a podcast that you listen to regularly, you look forward to regularly, consider how you can really chip in and help around here. The iTunes review is a great way to get started. Join in the conversation in our Google Plus community or on Twitter is another great way. Let me know if you'd like to be on the show. I had quite a few people reaching out, and I'm really thankful that I've got a great schedule of guests for several months now, which is huge. I know when I first started taking things on, and the previous host, Josh, told me that it was oftentimes the most difficult thing to get a lot of people just to jump on the show for an hour. But I've had such a great response from you guys, so please keep those coming in. Even if we're scheduling them in the distant future, that helps a ton. Just helps me to know, okay, I've definitely got somebody who's going to be available for that time. And it's what makes this show. It's what makes the Happy Hearthstone, having different people talking about different stuff. So if you've thought about it, shoot me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And of course, the other great way to support the show is through our Patreon. You can get some awesome perks. I've really tried to develop these in a way that, like, I would want to contribute at a different level, or at different levels depending on where I was at financially. So I'm really proud to be able to bring you guys great exclusive content every week and give shout outs and all sorts of different stuff. Go check it out if you haven't. And if you have been thinking about it, go make it happen. Got that ukulele giveaway this month that I hope is an extra incentive. Those rewards will start activating next month for you. So if you start it now, then you can start reaping the rewards on July 1st. And I do have to send a big thank you, as usual, to our producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Jordan L., Red Knight, and Risen. Thank you three so much. You guys are great players, great friends. I'm super thankful to have you at the level that you're at. In fact, I'm going to be reaching out to each of you individually just kind of for some more. At that level, the producers really helped to make this show what it is creatively also. So I love running ideas by them. And I just want to get some more feedback from you three specifically this week. So be on the lookout for that. And another way that you can jump in and support the show is through the email that I talked about last week. So if you missed that for some reason, I've got a new free download that I've created for you. And it's my ultimate guide to Hearthstone streamers who are going to help you get better at Hearthstone. And it's completely free just for signing up for the Happy Hearthstone mailing list. Just give me your name and your email. I'll shoot you updates once or twice a week, just whenever there's new content, because hopefully you want to know about that. And immediately when you sign up for that, you'll get an email with the link to download it. So go check it out. I've got links to everything, like the Google Plus community, my Twitch, our YouTube channel, my Twitters, the Blizzard group, and all that kind of stuff over at thehappyhearthstone.com. It's sort of the hub for the Happy Hearthstone. Imagine that. And if you haven't checked it out in a while, please do. My buddy Mark over at Esportsium has really helped to make that a great central hub. So I'm so thankful for you, Mark, and for the great work you've done to help us create that. So go check it out, thehappyhearthstone.com. I'm going to go ahead and sign off because I've actually got some coaching I'm going to do with one of our patrons tonight. So I'll go do that. And if you're interested again in getting coaching for yourself, go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and get it for you. Hey, thank you guys so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I can't wait to see you next time. Have an amazing week.